Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast, a podcast so fine it's explosive when mixed with air. Look it up. Coming up on this week's highly charged show, IFA, Germany's excuse for CES, kicks off in Berlin. We'll have the latest from the show floor. No more cheapo touchpads, not for the UK at any rate, but how about a cheapo Amazon tablet? Now there's a thought. More tantalising rumours of the iPhone 5 and, what's this? A Nexus Prime Plus. Good news for country folk from 3. All that, as well as news of a special announcement that peeps on the official T3 podcast Facebook group will already know about. So, let me introduce my co-host, the not lovely Ree Morgan, because she's not here, and the man who's too sexy for Milan, New York, and Japan. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell.
Hello. Welcome. And Berlin. Too sexy for Berlin.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is why you're here. But Ree is in Berlin.
Yes.
We'll be crossing to her shortly. She's actually in a press conference as we speak. I'm in text communication with her.
It's so exciting, the modern world of technology and communication, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're sat here in London, she's in Berlin.
Extraordinary.
Imagine being too sexy for Berlin. Have you ever been to Berlin?
Yes.
You'd have to be bloody sexy.
You'd have to be pretty damn sexy.
You'd have to have stuff leaking out of your ears. You know what I mean? So it's just the two of us.
Yeah.
We're like Pete and Dud.
Till Ree comes along. She's in a Samsung press conference.
So. Is she?
And I've been in some Samsung press conferences. They're very dull. Steve Jobs.
Press conferences in
Steve Jobs, those dull. Samsung peeps are not, let me tell you.
It's very difficult just doing it with two people, isn't it? Because you just have to keep on talking and you can't stop and wait for somebody else to fill the gap. Dead air. that's the genius of people like Pete and Dud and Griff
and Mel. Deck, you know, all the greats.
Hindley and Brady. All the... oh, no, not them.
No. Anyway, Doug, you're weak in 140 characters or more.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because my week, nothing really has happened this week. So I took to the airwaves, or not the airwaves, the interwebs.
Oh, yes.
And I was looking at certain other gadget websites.
What?
Yes, the ones where people leave comments underneath, because we don't do that at T3 anymore, because all the comments said, buy cheap iPod and cheap jeans, just text this number. Every single comment said that. So now you have to respond through Facebook and Twitter, because that's our social media strategy.
Of course.
And why not? But yeah, no, things like particularly Gizmodo and to an extent Engadget and the American ones, basically.
Mm.
They have loads and loads of comments underneath. And it's a terrible thing to see people working themselves up into a state of almost Nazi-like aggression over just the most like tiny sort of perceived slights of their kind of, you know, their favoured operating system.
Who has the time to do all this?
They obviously do. I suppose it doesn't take very long to type a comment, and then you just come back in half an hour's time. It's like, what's this guy saying?
I can't believe that they've said that.
And it's really tragic, because they're obviously very intelligent people, and they just seem to spend their lives in a sort of drain-circling spiral of hatred.
Are you sure they're very intelligent people?
Well, they know a lot of stuff. I guess that's not quite the same thing as being intelligent.
No, not always.
It reminds me, here's an amusing story. I think this summed it up. Mm-hmm. I didn't see this week, but it's legendary in the kind of hi-fi world. I think it may have been hi-fi... No, it's the AV forums. What's that called? It's a popular one. I think it's actually called AV forums.
I think it may well be.
And there was a famous sort of clipping, if you will, because it got deleted very rapidly. But basically, it started out as a discussion of HDMI or something, and then somebody said that you could do a certain thing with HDMI. You could send a certain type of sort of Dolby or DTS signal in a certain way. And the next reply said, "Your mother sucks cocks in hell." And not just, this wasn't just a random insult. This is because the guy was so upset about this misinformation, as he thought about. And it was actually worse than that. I've left out
really,
some of the
really
the
that,
worst
I think
bits
you,
of that.
It just sort of steps a few, you know, takes a few, misses out a few steps there, because it was always going to get to that level anyway. So, you know, may as well go straight for the jugular. Bang.
It's honestly, I think if you get that passionate about it,
that passionate about HDMI.
Time to look for a new hobby.
On to our top story, and it's the goings-on at that annual shindig IFA. Yes, the tech world has descended on Berlin with the latest goodies, and our man, Luke Peters, is there. Come in, Luke.
This is Berlin calling.
Hey! The technology works.
It's like Eurovision, isn't it?
Always a relief.
Thank you for joining us on this beautiful evening. What are the votes of your jury?
How are you getting on there? Have you found a power adapter? I noticed you were tweeting this morning that you were sans adapter.
Yeah, that was a big tech journalist fail about going out to an enormous one of the biggest tech conferences in the world. I'm bringing in Europe. I'm bringing some American plug adapters. I found that out last night as my
schoolboy.
Yeah.
Oh well, okay. So and busy there in Berlin.
It was quite busy. So yeah, it was quite busy on the first day that we arrived. Managed to get to the Panasonic and Sony press conferences.
Two of the big
Panasonic
ones.
Yeah, the Panasonic was actually quite interesting initially because the guy, the CEO, turned up in a Tesla on stage. One of their big things that they're pushing is ecology, and they claim that by 2018 that they will have they will be the greenest or most energy efficient tech manufacturer in the world. It's quite a big claim, but what they have done is they're starting to design for next year a thing called a smart town. So get smart TVs. It's all about smart towns now.
I've already forgotten
it. All houses are going to be connected, and they're going to be very energy efficient. Won't have to pay energy bills, and they're actually starting to build this next year. So I'm going to go and see it, I think.
Right. So it'll be a smart town where everyone drives Teslas and.
Everyone drives Teslas and has got Panasonic
tattoos
on the back.
Having instantly forgotten smart TVs, they were showing off their Viera smart TVs with Viera Connect.
Yeah, and the Viera Connect, that was probably the biggest story to come out of their press conference, was that they've now got, they're upgrading all their Connect TVs, so they're fully IPTV'd up, but they're also launching a kind of Viera marketplace.
Mm.
Not to buy the ex-Arsenal footballer, but to download software and some of Panasonic's hardware. So they're actually showcasing a few games that you can download directly.
Yeah, they'd already announced this partnership with Gameloft, but so what, were you going to be playing Assassin's Creed on Viera tellies?
Well, I think it's all going to depend on how powerful these TVs are, and you know, Nvidia are going to get into TV manufacturers now. I'm not sure. One thing it will do though is that's going to annoy the retailers, I'm sure, if you can buy everything direct from, you know, from source now. It looked quite good, but
because you can buy the webcams and glasses and things like that. Anything you need for your telly, direct from Panasonic
is the
idea.
Yeah. Well,
I think game retailers, they're already pretty annoyed, aren't they?
Yeah.
The last time I was in a game shop, all the staff seemed pretty pissed.
Did they actually show off any of the games? Because the games that we've seen on like the LG tellies and the Samsung tellies have been like kind of
the ones like from Bat and Ball.
Yeah,
they,
like
really,
early phone games. But these sound like you know, proper full on games you're going to be getting on there.
I may be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure in their list they had like Asphalt, which is quite one of the.
There's an Assassin's Creed game on the list.
Was there?
Yeah.
What they did show off was live tweeting from an iPad connected to a Viera.
I didn't quite understand this because so you've got your iPad, and instead of tweeting from your iPad, you use your iPad to tweet from your telly.
Exactly. Can you see the logic?
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah, so you can see your tweets in full 1080p widescreen glory.
Yeah, well that's
140
exactly.
characters.
Well, perhaps even
1080p.
Perhaps even 3D.
That'd be good. Oh, God, love that. Bloody hell.
They didn't say this, but the next thing, I guess, will be 3D tweets, whatever they look like.
Yeah. So they had a couple of cameras as well. One with a 24 times optical zoom, which seems ridiculous.
Excessive.
Yes. a full HD 3D camcorder.
Yeah, and they made a big song and dance about the fact that this is going to be the camera that's going to be used at the, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this legally, but the 2012 Olympic Games.
Oh, well, you've just said it.
As long as we're not selling anything, you can say what you like.
Yeah.
If we were a commercial exercise, which we're not.
Because, they're a sponsor, aren't they?
Yeah. So on stage, they got someone from the IOC and some Panasonic guy. They all did some big man handshake, and I think a 3D camera was born out of it.
Fantastic.
So that's what they're going to be using at the live, to broadcast live 3D to us for all those people that didn't get tickets, including myself.
Yeah.
Not one.
I've got tickets to the beach ball.
Yeah, I got tickets to the
beach
boxing
ball, the beach
and,
volleyball, I think, actually.
Handball or something.
Handball, always good. Sony, other big one. Right, the HMZ T1 Personal 3D Viewer.
Oh, this is hilarious.
Okay, so this is we saw this at CES, 2011, this year. And it's kind of a Lawnmower Man meets one of those Tomy star shooter things you bought.
Or kind of virtual boy sort of.
Like a virtual boy thing. And the idea is, it was at concept stage at CES this year. Now it's going into production. It's essentially a head mount, like those Vuzix things, but with a bit more Sony shine.
A bit Olympus sort of did this first, didn't they? With the iTrek or something.
Exactly. It looks like you have to strap it onto your head. Am I misunderstanding that?
No, you really do. It's huge, I found myself holding it in front of my face because the straps weren't strong enough.
Yeah, so, I'd be worried about it falling off, or about it pulling the top of my head off. It kind of
takes the iTrek and runs with it because it's 3D for a kickoff, but it's meant to create the illusion of a 750-foot cinema screen, which, if you translate that to TV parlance, is 9,000 inches. Did you have that impression?
Yeah, I can qualify that and say that that's not the case.
No,
good qualification.
But it is quite good. I mean, the thing is, 3D technology isn't robust enough to be perfect. So when you've got something that it obviously gives the impression of being a lot bigger, but you do see faults in it, and I found that when I was wearing it, I had to have it in a certain place, and was I making sure that the integrated headphones were over my ears?
Oh, I was hoping it would solve all that, but
I mean, to be honest, I'm kudos to Sony for actually still building this stuff, still kind of like
this nutter project.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just imagine, you know, the Sony R&D guy said, "I've got this amazing idea," and whereas most companies would say that's rubbish, Sony were like, "That's cool, let's go make it." And you know, whether it sells or it doesn't, Sony seems to have a track record of that as well. Yeah. But the big news to come out of that press conference really was, and the biggest news so far was the announcement of the S and P tablet.
The tablet P and the tablet S. Explain the difference. Yeah,
are they really called the P and S tablets?
They are. That's exactly what they're called. So the S tablet is the
that's the two things you can do in a toilet.
very good.
The S tablet is the iPad-esque thing that's been designed to look like a folded over magazine.
Yeah, they've done something a bit different, haven't they, with that design? It's not your usual, you know, slab.
No, and when you're comparing the rest of the market, because, you know, let's be honest, it's still a one-horse race and will be. Mm-hmm. It's probably the best-looking Android tablet, for sure, and the best-looking tablet that's in the market. And that their big push really was that you can get this thing out of the box and it will connect, providing you all your AV stuff that's connected to your home network, it will just talk to it straight away. So you can do the Sony's version of AirPlay, where you throw content from the tablet onto a hi-fi or onto a TV. And you can use it as a universal remote control, and you can play old PS1 games if you're that way inclined. You know, it's actually quite slick.
Okay.
Colors are really good. The screen's pretty sharp. The pricing's odd. You've got the S tablet, which is the 9-inch one, for about £399.
Yeah.
Then you've got the clamshell P design, which is a cross between an old Nokia communicator and a DS, for, I think, starts about £450, I think, minimum.
Yeah, we've got €600 here.
Yeah.
And they're really pitching that.
And that's coming out later, isn't it? The S coming out end of September, P coming out in November.
That's correct, yeah. But they're pitching the clamshell, the P as the...
I used to do P before S.
Exactly. But they're both, you know, again, kudos for Sony for trying to do something different. Mm. I'm just not convinced that it's enough of a sway to for people to choose that over in the market at the moment.
The cool sort of AV stuff that it does, is that only with other Sony products, or have they opened it out?
No. It's not. They've opened it up.
So that's something.
They've said it works. Anything that's connected to your home network, so a set-top box.
So it's DLNA, basically.
A TV. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But I think what that equates to is anything with DLNA will work.
They've also been showing off a faster Xperia Arc, the Xperia Arc S. What is it with phones these days? You've got to add an S.
Well, Sony seems to be obsessed with putting S on the end of everything.
Yeah.
So I assume that stands for speed as opposed to shit. I'm going to stick my neck out and assume that's what they're talking about there.
Or maybe Sony. It may stand for Sony.
Could be.
Or Super Sony.
Super lovely.
Why not?
1.4. The Arc super lovely.
1.4 gigahertz processor now, apparently 25% faster, and sweet panorama, which is actually quite a nice feature to add, I think, from their cameras.
Have you ever known anyone to actually take a panorama and show you a panorama ever in your life?
Yeah, when you first get your camera, yeah. You go, wow.
Have you ever been around somebody's house and they've got nothing but panoramas on their wall? No, never happens.
Yeah. Still, it's cool.
I have to say, though, I mean, I haven't had a good place thus far, but it does look really, really nice. It's really thin, and it's like the Arc, but just with a little bit more polish. The premium Arc, I guess.
Premium Arc, like it. A bit of competition for the Kindle. They've got their new e-reader, which they say is the lightest 6-inch e-reader with e-ink touchscreen. Given that the Kindle doesn't have a touchscreen, I don't know whether that means it's lighter than the Kindle or not. But it's got multi-touch.
The Nook's got a touchscreen.
It has got multi-touch. I mean, the e-ink looks a little bit sharper than the Kindle. Mm-hmm. I can't believe this is the first... Correct me if I'm wrong, but I can't believe this is the first Sony e-reader with Wi-Fi. That's not right, surely.
They're calling it the e-reader Wi-Fi.
I think it is, unless they did a one early on that really? Didn't that they junked. Because we were just about to do an e-reader group test, and they didn't send us this one. They were like, "Oh, we didn't know this was coming out."
Right.
So the one they sent us didn't have Wi-Fi, and we've kind of slated it as a result.
Yeah.
So Sony have shot themselves in the foot there.
Okay, well, 3G would have been a nice addition as well, but at least they've got Wi-Fi. I suppose the bigger announcement, in a way, is the Reader Store. Which is actually some competition for Amazon.
That's a big deal because they're going to launch a UK specific reader store as well. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but it sounds good for the UK market.
Perhaps British spelling in the books. Something
colour
like that,
will be spelt nice. Correctly.
Yeah, exactly. They're saying 100,000 titles, which is meaty enough, I suppose.
But it's just
Sorry, go on.
And
Sony always want to launch their own stores, don't they? Because they got Curiosity.
Yeah, but
been renamed
fact you need if you're buying an e-reader, you need the store to go with it.
I agree with that. But it's like, why didn't they do this years ago? Yeah, like Amazon now has got a massive head start. Yeah. Why would you choose?
True.
Yeah, I think that's probably something worth explaining as well, Dan. That's a good point. One of their big announcements is that now everything, including the PlayStation Network, the old Curiosity services, now comes under the Uber umbrella of the Sony Entertainment Network. Mm. So they've completely ditched that stupid name.
At least it's English,
Yeah, because exactly. Curiosity is the worst ever, basically.
Exactly, and now it's called something like Music.
It's Music
Download
Unlimited.
Music Unlimited and Movies Unlimited. And I actually had a briefing with some of the top guys from Tokyo a couple of hours ago, and they told me that it wouldn't just be Sony like pictures and Sony music content. It'll be from all the major labels as well.
Good.
Yeah.
They're also showing off the Sony Alpha, the A77, which I am very excited about. I'm not sure anyone else is. But I really like this camera.
I'm hyped.
Yeah, I'm going to get a hands-on with it very soon in the UK.
But, you might.
Have you had a play?
No, I haven't had a play, but I thought that might be something that got you excited about. I'll leave the limelight to you.
Yeah, it shoots 1080p, 50 frames per second progressive video, which is great for movie makers.
I've heard
12 frames per second burst mode. It's got 24 megapixels. It's awesome. It's very, very nice.
I've heard it uses translucent mirror technology.
Yes, well read, Duncan. it's their new... They're phasing out the SLR. They're bringing in translucent mirror technology, which, for all intents and purposes, works just the same as an SLR, but it's an electronic screen through the viewfinder rather than an optical one, which some people like, some people don't, but it does mean it can do amazing things.
I'm all about the translucent mirrors myself.
I'm sure you are.
I barely use mirrors that aren't translucent these days.
Of course, we've saved the best till last, really. Toshiba with their 10.1-inch Toshiba 80-100.
Can you confirm that it's got a coloured rubber back? That's all the details we have at this point.
You're going to have to tell me exactly what this is.
Oh! Yeah, that's from Toshiba's launched the 80-100. It's got the same processor as the Galaxy Tab 10.1, but the crucial difference, its back is made of rubber and it comes in different colours.
A coloured rubber back.
Brilliant.
In our lifetime. They said it couldn't be done.
I'll tell you what, they're just about to serve food in the press area, but I'm going to forego that and I'm going to run out to see whether that has got
a rubber back. I would imagine. Okay, right. Well, you run along and go and see the AT100. The lunch is never good at these things. Don't worry about that. Right, thanks so much, Luke. Thank you very much for joining us, filling us in. We'll have all the details for me for next week as well, when we mop up all the others, Samsung and everything. We were going to speak to Ree, but she's in the Samsung press conference, so we can't actually speak to her. But thank you, Luke, for filling in. Now there is plenty more where that came from. So let me say, here is the news. Scurries for his script. Hooray for the HP Touchpad. It's now the number 2 selling tablet behind iPad, achieving HP's stated aim for the device. Sadly, it had to be done by discontinuing it and dropping the price to £89. But hey, good news for those who've just bought one. HP says it will be releasing a series of over-the-air webOS updates. But bad news if you're still waiting to get one. HP says the promised new stock will only be made available to US customers.
Yes, a letter from Samsung's legal team appears to have confirmed.
Oh dear.
I'm going to stop doing that now.
Appears to confirm that upcoming Nexus Prime Google phone.
Google. Oh dear.
It's Google
full
phone.
Full of typos.
The letter was sent to techsitegeek.com. Which, God, it's more difficult than it looks, this reading off of a page, isn't it? Which it claims was about to disclose firmware for the Nexus Prime. Still not convinced? Well, how about the fact that a Wi-Fi certificate has just been issued to Samsung for said phone? Hmm. Well, that's pretty conclusive in my view.
I would say so.
Expect an announcement soon.
The white Samsung Galaxy 2 has landed, instantly making all black S2s look like so much squashed turd on a flip-flop. Oh. It's available right now, so what are you waiting for? What's that? iPhone 5, you say?
Yes, we do.
So slick.
What?
You say?
So what are you waiting for? What's that iPhone 5 you say? No, yes we are. That's why I found that confusing. It should be we are.
We do say.
No, never mind. Okay. So
where's Ree?
Oh dear, right, okay. So the latest tidbit emerges from Greek iPhone. What's that? Is that a website?
Yeah, apparently.
Sounds like a condition. Which claims it's laid its mitts on camera components for the next-gen Apple cell. Oh, God. Why don't these people get out more? Greek says... Do you mean geek?
No, Greek.
Oh, okay. Greek says it's thinner.
Ooh.
And higher res... And the ooh actually was in the script there. That wasn't just me going ooh. It says it's thinner, and then in brackets, ooh. And higher res than the old cam. Best guess is a Sony 8-megapixel module.
iTunes Match, Apple's soon-to-be-released music storage and streaming service, has just gone live for developers in the United States. Devs are set to get a free 3 months thrown in with their 12-month subscription, which costs $24.99, that's dollars. It lands in the US in full in a month's time, but Apple hasn't said when it'll hit the UK.
Don't hold your breath.
No.
And country folk will soon feel a little less bumpkin-y. I didn't write this. Three is offering three... Oh, this is a very bad thing for somebody with a South East London accent to say. Three is offering free 3G broadband dongles to areas of Britain with the worst internet speeds, such as my house.
There we are.
They'll be free for a year, after which you'll have to start paying, country boy.
Yes, you will. Oh, that was arduous. Time to see what you've been tweeting to at T3DOTCOM, Dunk.
Yes, yes. Lord Otter. Oh, Henry. I'm about to start drawing Dragon on a Beach, 3D, texting on its... Oh, another typo. That's not how you spell its in this context. Texting on its BlackBerry the word cock and having it corrected to anal.
A reference to an earlier...
That was about 3 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Slow on the uptake.
When was
there.
The cock and anal situation?
I think it was about a fortnight ago.
Always very slow on the old cock and anal, Lord Otter. And then Full Circle 360, good name, says, I'm looking for a sub £200 tablet computer. Any suggestions?
Good ones do not exist.
Well, the touchpad.
Yeah, well, you can't get it anymore.
Late.
Yeah, too late. Maybe you can pick one up on eBay, I don't know. But there are no good tablets under £200, I'm afraid.
I suppose eBay, a slightly battered iPad 1.
Yeah,
on
maybe.
eBay.
You might, but I still think they go for more than £200.
Not if they're really battered.
But if you want something new, get a, I don't know, get a...
Just give up, basically.
Yeah.
There are no decent tablets.
Get a web book or something, you know.
Yeah. I'd love to know what those tablets they sell in Maplins are like.
Rubbish. Really.
Are they really rubbish?
Awful. Awful.
Oh, okay.
Don't do it. Cooper Marsh, brackets Justin Cooper Marsh, bagged a touchpad at £115. Seems a bit slow playing Facebook games. When is Touch Droid available?
What does that mean?
I think he means Touch Droid, which is the Android.
That's another auto-correction issue, isn't it?
Quite possibly. Touch Droid, there's been pictures of it. Apparently it works, but haven't seen it in the wild as yet.
There's been pictures of potatoes with the face of Jesus, yes, but yes, it doesn't mean...
Action Jackson 666, the return of Sean O'Flatty. I bought a touchpad for £89 on Amazon. You got the smaller version. And seriously hope HP can fix its sluggish performance with a webOS update soon. A lot of people saying it's not, you know, not that slick.
I don't really understand what happened with the touchpad, because I saw a lot of positive reviews of it.
Yeah.
And I think it was almost that the reviewers were willing it to be better than it was. Or maybe certain review units worked fine, and therefore certain units that are out in the wild work fine, but a lot of them do not. But I never understand how that can be.
No.
So I think a lot of reviews are just maybe simply...
You know what sometimes happens is they go, oh, well, this is pre-production. And then people give it a bit of benefit of the doubt. You know what I mean? Actually, it's no different to what actually comes out.
As a vicious and aggressive person, I would say, well, why have you given it to me to review then?
Rip it to pieces.
Exactly.
maybe this WebOS these WebOS updates will fix that. We'll see.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure HP are going to keep them coming, aren't they?
Well, they've promised. You can't really complain that much for £89, but we'll see. We've had a reply from Sofa Hippo, Terry... Malion, about the whole Malion malign incident. He says, damn that autocorrect, all is forgiven. Oh, thank goodness. And I must say, I love the efficiency of it all. Does that mean our reply? Was it the quickness of our reply? As well as the podcast in general.
No, I think he means autocorrection of text.
Oh, I see.
That is, I mean, to be honest, even on my crappy Android phone, but certainly on the iPhone, that is a bit of a modern miracle. It's the only thing that makes touchpad keyboards usable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we all take it for granted now, but you just sit there and you just basically go, ba-dum, 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 your fingers are all over the place, and somehow...
It kind of comes out right.
Pretty much what you've written turns up on screen.
Pretty good. Lots of excitement on the official T3 podcast group on Facebook to the announcement that...
That we haven't made yet.
We're about to make now.
Ah!
Is that the 200th episode of the T3 podcast is going to be... live, and we're inviting everyone to come along. It's going to be in London, and it's what
obviously.
Now? Yes, as in 2 weeks now or 3 weeks now. It's on the 16th. 2 weeks, goodness, yes, we're in September already.
So you don't know what EFA stands for, you can't quite remember.
There we are. It's 2 weeks from today. It's going to be in London, and we'll be posting details on the Facebook group of exactly where it is, and we'll let you know next week as well on the podcast. But if you want to find out first, just head to Facebook, search for the official T3 podcast group. I'm not sure there are lots of unofficial T3 podcast groups, but you know, you never can be too sure. You know, you want to be sure what you're dealing with. And all the details will be on there. Already coming are George Sang, Leon Fenner, Dave Parrington, Siren Wong, and Nilesh R. Palmer, sending their apologies. Maya Rana, who's in Kenya, fair dues.
That is a reasonable excuse.
Katie Heath, who booked the day off work, then found she had an important meeting.
No meeting is that important.
No. Jack Malcolmson, Yasser Charisma. We were looking forward to meeting Mr. Charisma.
is quite literally Mr. Charisma.
He is.
Who wouldn't want to meet him?
And Simon White.
He's quite literally Mr. White.
So anyway, get on the group. Let us know if you're coming. We'll give you all the details as well.
It is quite a crazy idea, this idea that we've had, that you've had. You and Ree have worked up the ideas department of this podcast.
It's the 200th podcast. It's a big moment.
I think it's good in a way. Well, it's good full stop. Because, it is a bit actually doing it live, as in broadcasting live to air, which to me, as a person from the countryside, a simple country lad, I thought a podcast could not be broadcast live to air.
Well, it can. It can. Obviously, you'll hear all the mistakes we make.
This is the interesting thing. Apparently, I'm not actually on our own Facebook group, but somebody told me that apparently somebody was saying, I was shocked to discover that it's you have a script it's all scripted. It's like it's not all
it's
scripted.
Not, no, it's, we do have. I am holding three pieces of paper in my hand. I can tell you what's on it. So we've got the introduction, a few points for when we're talking about the top story, little prompters.
Yeah, the news.
The news
is all written down.
Is written down, as I think Duncan proved conclusively. And we've got all your tweets here as well. That's really it.
Yeah, I find it quite touching that somebody would actually think for a second that this kind of stream of consciousness gabble that we do every week would be like a script about 900 pages long, and it wouldn't be so much a script as a sort of bloody Venn diagram or something. He's going, are Duncan's rants scripted? Like, do they sound bloody scripted? Like, there's never any information in them. I don't usually know what I'm talking about.
Now, talking of script, we've got a gadget of the week, but Ree's not here. Have we got a gadget of the week?
No.
Right, move on. Never.
All the gadgets of the week are at EFA. Well, I'll tell you what. Hit the music.
Okay.
Play the music.
Yes, Duncan?
The gadget of the week this week, and for my money every week, the laser television.
Oh, how can we forget?
Mitsubishi, if you please, laser television.
Who make televisions?
I thought Mitsubishi meant either, don't they make motorbikes?
Yeah.
And it was, for people of a certain age, it was a very well-known brand of narcotic in the early 90s.
And they and they make pickup trucks.
For anyone who was in the rave days, they will know what a Mitsubishi
was.
Not that we endorse the use of illegal drugs on this podcast.
No, in any way. So what?
What was I talking about? The laser television. How exciting!
Which
that's
is
like
kind of
the Jetsons.
It's sort of old tech meets new tech.
Well, rather boringly, it is when you get down to the brass tacks of it. But laser television makes it sound great. Like you could imagine an episode of the Thunderbirds.
I want one already.
Turn on the laser television, Virgil. Because you remember in the Thunderbirds they had a nuclear cooker.
Who wouldn't?
Like it was meant to be in the future, or was it in the future? It was meant to be very futuristic, and yet the woman always did the cooking. It was like the mother or the wife of the Thunderbirds.
Yeah, they didn't think about social change.
She was like, oh, I do love my nuclear cooker. I'll just move the fuel rods around. Well, that never happened. But a laser television. Yeah, but anyway, no, what it actually is you may probably remember, I'm sure you remember, I don't know what I'm saying in this patronising way, basically back projection.
There will be people listening to this podcast who don't.
Young people. Mm. Well, basically, if you went into a particularly dingy pub up to a few years ago and they were showing the football, and they it may have been pre-flat screens, or they may have been so dingy they couldn't afford to buy a flat screen or couldn't be bothered. You'd have something called a rear projection television, which I never quite worked out why it was meant to be good, but it would sort of basically, it was a projector, and it projected from the rear onto a screen.
It was flat screen, there were big screens as well.
But it always looked terrible, because there was kind of intrinsic lack of light, and a certain warping around the edges as well, I seem to recall. But this, it's the same thing, but as the name suggests, with lasers, and therefore better.
Much.
I'd imagine a lot better, because lasers are to lights what nuclear bombs are to me going bang. That's
an excellent analogy.
As Sir Robert Winston once said to me.
We don't really know any more details other than that it's a back projection television that uses lasers in some way, but we're already tipping it for enormous success.
Well, what's to not know? I mean, it's basically a projector that uses lasers instead of LEDs or whatever.
Brilliant. Now, the iPad's already seen off HP's touchpad, but could its biggest competitor be about to come from Amazon? It's prompted to look at this because Lee Emerson posted on the official T3 podcast group on Facebook. HP, it's a bit of a conspiracy theory, I think. HP say they're continuing to develop webOS, yet they aren't making hardware anymore. Amazon are releasing their own tablet at a loss with a plan to make money on the apps, meaning they need control over the app ecosystem. Brackets. Android's no good. Could these facts be connected, I wonder?
Is that a very torturous way of saying the Amazon tablet might have
WebOS? It is, yes. But he was setting out the reasoning, you see.
I like his reasoning. I like that's more than we can usually manage.
There's actually some logic to all that. I don't know whether it'll actually come true, but
There's logic to any number of things. I think they're going to happen. But,
yes.
I like that's a good theory. I like that theory. I would say no, that probably isn't what's going to happen. But theory, Lee.
So the New York Post is saying that the Amazon tablet will undercut the iPad by, they're saying, hundreds of dollars, which kind of backs up the sort of chatter that we're hearing about this.
It's not chatter. It's blatantly obvious to anyone who's got a bloody brain. Mm. And didn't I make this point myself?
Probably.
In fact, a couple of weeks ago, that if you sell a tablet of the same price as the iPad, you're going to get buried.
Yeah.
It's a complete waste of time.
Well, look at the touchpad. You know, sell it for £89. Suddenly, it's the number two selling touch tablet.
It is quite funny because I had got to the point of saying, well, basically HP, they can't give these tablets away, well, and then it turned out they could.
Apparently, they can. Analyst Foresters say if Amazon launches a sub $300 price point, assuming it has enough supply to meet demand, we see Amazon selling 3 to 5 million tablets in Q4 alone. So that would be more than a million a month.
This is what I love about technology analysts.
Complete pie in the sky.
As I could have said that. Yeah. It's like, yeah, let me think. If HTC launched a tablet tomorrow at £150 and they were able to use an infinite number of them, I imagine they'd sell about 10 million in Q4 alone.
That's very interesting analysis.
Can any of those things actually be done? I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah. I mean, Amazon's got four.
Sorry, what is $300? That's about 200 quid.
It's, well, if you did a straight conversion, it'd be 200 quid.
Say 300 quid for the sake of argument.
£300 is still a lot of money, you know.
Yeah, £200, however, that is...
£200 would be... Yeah, if you could get a 199...
That's the... Yeah.
We'd bite.
That's the sweet spot. I think Amazon have to undercut Apple. Are they able to undercut Apple by that much? I don't know.
Well, they've shown that they're prepared to make a loss on stuff with the Kindle. When the components were all totted up, it looked as though the Kindle was basically selling for about $30 more than just the bare components. And once you add like licensing for the
bare components.
Once you add, the licensing for the software it uses and the actual manufacturing and the marketing and all that lot, they're essentially selling it at a loss. So the idea is they make the money back on the books, and they would do the same with this, wouldn't they?
Okay, so this takes us back to Lee's very good point earlier, which is if it's an Android tablet, which seems like the obvious one to go for,
they can't control that.
They can't control it. However, Android market is sufficiently bad that I think Amazon could. And Amazon obviously already does have an Android apps part of it. So is it launched over here yet? I'm afraid I haven't looked into it, but in America it does have its own kind of version of Android market. Yeah, but I think Lee's got a point there.
Yeah, I don't think you can have a locked down Android. I think you'd be breaking the terms of actually using Android. So,
well, you can take. Yeah, you'd have to sign people up on different contracts to the general sort of market contracts.
But I don't think you'd be able to use the OS with a locked down system where you couldn't use the marketplace. Blah blah blah.
No, it's not this locked down, but you'd have to make your market so good that people would just go to it as opposed to the standard Android market, and then you take your cut on
that
the
doesn't
sales.
Sound very Amazon to me. The Kindle doesn't use very open systems of books. You can't go to a library and borrow
what Amazon does have a very good sort of recommendation engines, very easy search.
Yes, but on
basically everything that Android market doesn't have.
Absolutely, but on the Kindle there is only one way of buying a book. It's the Amazon marketplace.
Yeah,
that's a fair point.
So I suppose the other option would be Windows Phone 7, which there's no.
But again,
pre-existing sort of.
How would you lock it down?
Well, at least it'd be less of a problem because there is an absolutely massive already existing rival to your system.
But with Windows 7, you can,
Amazon would be wanting to sell, because obviously this tablet would also be a de facto an ebook reader.
Yeah,
so they'd be looking to continue to make money out of the Kindle
color or whatever. Yeah.
I don't know. You see, I'm not an analyst, so I couldn't tell you how Amazon would hope to make money out of that.
But look, if they take on webOS, if they make it faster, it could work. I mean, that said, there's so many operating systems out there that it wouldn't have to be webOS. There are other operating systems are available, as they say.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is, Amazon, the Kindle is a great device. Don't get me wrong. It's like, it's really well made. Feels really good. It works really well. But the thing that's great about it is also the thing that makes it, maybe you shouldn't get too excited about an Amazon tablet, is it just does one thing really well. And the one thing it does is not, it doesn't require speed particularly. It doesn't require processor intensiveness. It doesn't require anything particularly clever beyond the kind of e-ink and the general feeling nice in your hands. Whereas a tablet is a whole different board game. But there's like a million things you can do with it. You need to be able to transition quickly between things. People get very impatient if they have to wait. Nobody gets particularly impatient about the kind of half-second wait for the page to turn. But, imagine, that, but worse, every time you're waiting for a web page to come up or, you know, for an app to open or whatever.
So it's a bigger fish for them to fry than just bringing out an e-reader.
I think they may be cooking their pans before they've learned how to hatch chickens.
I imagine. Mm. That's why you're not an analyst, I think, Duncan.
Well, I think that's why I could be an analyst.
I see.
Because that's about as useful as what foresters have come up with there.
Good. Well, that is about all for this week. Remember, T3.com has all the latest. T3 is on the shelves and on the iPad, and we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week, then. I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.